Welcome to the Redemptification Podcast, where we focus on inspiring people and communities and starting conversations around the topic of redemptification. Redemptification we define as the creative work of redeeming a person or place to its intended beauty and glory. I'm your host, John Marsh, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ty Maloney.
Well, welcome to the Redemptification Podcast. I'm excited today to have a new friend and a guy that has just kind of captured my imagination in ways. Dave Munson is the founder and owner of Saddleback Leather, a bag that I have stalked and looked at many times in and out of the cart of my life. And his business started back in 2003 when he was in Mexico and decided that he wanted to make a bag. And his products are amazing. His stories and his passion is good work in the world. And I'm grateful he's going to be here today and tell you a little bit about what he's got going. Dave, thanks for taking a few minutes.
Well, thanks for having me. Ever since we hung out there in Kansas, man, I was like, I like that guy. What a good guy. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, I tell you, you're so many things. I mean, you started out a missionary that got sent on a journey that looked like a detour that took you into this story that now has unfolded and given you influence. And I feel like, you know, you make products and you put yourself out there in the world. And I know sometimes you must feel like it's a tug of war and you're the rope. But you put yourself out there by making great products and doing things you and your wife and loving on people. Tell us a minute about how in the world does a guy like you get to making bags?
Yeah, so in 1999, I was teaching, I tried to go to seminary in 1999. I got burned out as a youth pastor, so I thought, you know, I'm going to go to seminary. So I applied to Dallas Theological, and they said, no. I tried to apply to Denver Seminary, no. Multnomah Seminary, they said no.
I didn't know they said no to people.
Yeah, they sure did. They said, that my GPA wasn't high enough in my undergrad. And so I said, dude, school's easy for me. Like, I didn't even have to study, and I still got a 2.29. And so you should, you know, they said, well, sorry, accreditation 2.5. You can try back in a couple of years, take the GRE. Anyway, I ended up getting in through a back, kind of a back door. And then someone asked me to go to Mexico to teach English at this Christian center thing. So I went back to my school and I said, you know, I didn't want to go out with you anyway. So I went on down to Mexico, Morelia, Michoacan, and taught English for a year at a place called Centro Noé. Noé International, great ministry. Oh my gosh, what a great ministry.
I love Morelia. What a cool city.
What a cool city. And actually now I said, hey, would you guys open one in León where our factory is? And they said, yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of come back around, you know, all this time later. So now they have a Centro Noé open there. Huge ministry. People get saved all the time there. Thousands and thousands in a completely unchurched area.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we went down there and I was looking for a bag to carry my school books. You know, I had like a JanSport backpack type thing. And so I thought, I looked around, couldn't find a bag. And I thought, well, what would Indiana Jones carry? And so I wanted a bag like he would carry. And, I found a guy making bags and I asked him to make it. If I sketched it out, he did. I sanded it on it a little bit, twisted it around, bent it around, you know, got it all floppy. And everywhere I went, when I got back to Portland, Oregon, everyone was asking me where they could buy one of those bags. Like, I don't know, four or five times a day. And people awesome. Come out of the offices and, you know, ask me, where can I get one of these bags? And, you know, when I had the bag, when I first gave him the drawing, I said, Lord, would you help this to be the coolest bag ever?
Oh, what a beautiful prayer. See?
You know, and so I
was... You are smart enough to pray that.
Like, why not?
It's like, right.
It'd be like if Bill Gates said, hey, I'll write you a blank check. Like, how much do you want? Just tell me how much you want.
Right.
You go, $1,000?
Go big, no, man.
No, like $45 billion. How about
that's
that?
Right. Like, that's right.
I'll take all you got. Write it out for all you have. Like, I'll take that. That's what I would ask. You don't ask for like, God, you know.
I think I'm small.
Whatever your will is for this bag, would it be that? No. I told my mom, you know, it's funny. My mom, she's like, oh, so-and-so's, you know, sick or something, dying or something. Maybe they have cancer. And she prays like, God, whatever your will is. And I go, Mom, if I'm on life support and I got mangled in a car wreck, don't pray for God's will. Pray that I get it better.
That's right.
With like a bionic arm. Like,
right.
I want to be able to jump up on top of buildings. pray for God to heal me. Anyway, so
I don't know
if that's theologically correct, but that's what I asked.
It worked.
Seemed to work. For me, it was the coolest bag ever.
Right.
And I get all that all the time. So I got back up to the U.S., and everyone wanted the bag. And then I took it, and I thought, hey, this could support ministry. So I moved back down to Juarez. I moved to Juarez, not back to Juarez. Moved back to Mexico to Juarez, across from El Paso, and I would deposit the money. I had this father and son making bags, and they send them up on the bus, bus station, pick up my box, and I would take it over to El Paso, and I'd sell those on eBay. And then, and my dog and I had a black lab named Blue. He and I would slept on the floor in this little $100 a month apartment for 3 years with no hot water. We just, it was, and it's, you know, it averages 32 for the low in the wintertime, and it's 95 on the average in the summertime, and no AC, nothing. It was just sweated out.
But that conditioned you.
Those are some of the best years. Seriously, I really enjoyed those years. That was great. But all the money I was saving, I would deposit back down into the bank. And they'd send me up, you know, 5 and then 9 and then 15. And I just had to pay for the $100 every month and my cell phone bill and then dog food. That was pretty much it, you know, pretty much it. And yeah, so, and so in 2006, that was 2003 to 2006. 2006, I was in Panama with my brother and we were on this island, taking pictures and surfing and doing little fun things. And then, I checked in this internet cafe, I checked eBay, see how they were going. My dad was shipping for me. And then I checked MySpace. And there was this pretty little lady there. And I was like, wow, she's so pretty. She asked me a message. She asked me where Multnomah Bible College was. And so I responded back to her. And when I got back, I flew to San Antonio where she lived. And started kissing. And then about 5 months later, we got married.
Oh, man.
I was 35. She was 34. And
that's awesome.
9 months and 15 minutes later, we had a little girl. And it was really cool. So then in 2008, we started a factory and in Mexico, Central Mexico.
So how do you go from a dad and son making bags to a factory? I mean, tell us a minute about what that looks like. That must have been crazy.
Well, I had my bags being made by two different factories down there. But the quality, you know, quality materials, it's just the stitching was crooked and, you know, I didn't trust them. And I wasn't getting the colors I was asking for, whatever they could get a deal on from the color and that sort of thing. It was really frustrating. So I had a business coach in San Antonio. So he had worked at a big manufacturing place. And so I said, well, how about you and I start a factory? And so he said, okay. To make a long story short on that one, yeah, so we hired a bunch of people away from a Dooney and Burke factory. And there's most of them still with us today.
Oh, that's cool.
And 11 years later. So the FBI, after all the mess, the FBI called me into their office and said, hey, what do you know about this guy? My old partner. Swindled me out of it so much. And
dang.
Yeah, what do you know about him? And I told him, I said, this is funny you ask. This is what just happened. And they're like, yeah. Anyway, it was kind of interesting. So, yeah, so I bought the factory from him, the other half, rather than go through lawsuits. I said, you know, I just let God handle the justice on that.
You're so, you know, I mean, for everyone listening, it don't, each of us who've done a lot of things have stories like that of heartbreak and obstacles and things that you just go, you know, are you going to quit or are you going to have grace and try to walk on forward and let God sort it out? It's, man, it's hard to handle that stuff sometimes. I look back and I wish I would have been a little more mature earlier on for the problems.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that God, a lot of times those are an answer to our prayers. Mm-hmm. Because God says, be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not be thankful that you won the lottery. Not be thankful that you got, you know, somehow.
Every water fountain has Kool-Aid when you get to it and you're walking on sunshine. It's just your way. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's be thankful in the things that are shaping your character too. And some of those were tests and I didn't pass the tests. And so then God put some more tests in my way to see if I would be thankful. And I didn't pass those tests. And then I started getting it. He's testing me. And a lot of the things I see as trials are actually blessings. And God's like, listen, be thankful. I can't believe you don't trust me. I thought you said you put your faith in me. And I go, well, yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, but God knows what he's doing. So, yeah. So
you got a factory.
So I got a factory. We were 50-50 and I bought him out and it was really cool. So we started growing it more. And we opened up daycare and we opened up a year and a half ago, we opened up a school, kindergarten to first grade right now. And that's with an accelerated Christian education. And so it's easier to mold clay than it is to bust bricks. And so that town is very hardened. Like if they're very hardened and for not a lot of Christ followers. And so what we want to do is to reach their kids, show them how much we love their kids. And they seem to really like it. And then that Noe, Centro Noe program, we opened that up too about 4 years ago in the city. It's just really neat. People are coming to Christ hand over fist. It's really cool.
In Latin America, I felt that. I said, it's not that we're different down there. They are the soul. They are hungry for hope. They're hungry for the things of God. And they're hungry and open that I've seen in a lot of ways. So I love it. I love the fact that y'all are doing that work there too. I mean, you must have a heart for the people in the community that y'all.
No, in there in the Bible, it says that God is the one who puts into us the desire and the effort for his good pleasure. And like, so it's kind of like, you know, when I was working in Juarez and I had some friends in El Paso and they'd say, hey, Dave, you want to go mountain biking or hiking or you want to do something? And I go, you know, I don't really have time. I'm really, really busy with this business thing. I'm trying to get it going. And okay, maybe next week. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow. Okay. And I just didn't have the time. And then all of a sudden I met Suzette and I had 8 hours to drive without working, just 8 hours on a Friday, and then drive home 8 hours on a Monday. And all of a sudden, I'm only working 3 days a week. But because I had plenty of time, I had desire, and I had effort. And so
your why was big enough. You had why power.
That's right. And so God puts it in us at certain times for certain reasons, and other times he just takes it out of us. We don't have the energy. We procrastinate. It's because he didn't want us to do it at that time.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I've had endless energy. We don't have, we don't worry about hard work. It's meaningless work that makes us struggle when we think the work we're doing doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That matters. And I love that. So as you've got the factory going, is there like a catalytic point where your business did that crazy video that I love you for, where you took apart a bag and showed people how to make a junkie bag?
How to knock off a bag? Yeah, that was a good one.
It seems like you've had points where things that you've said just really connected with people online, and it really took you guys for, is that what you found? Is there certain things where it's just been steady growth and you felt like it's, you know, slowly by slowly, how has it happened?
Well, you know, it's hard online to have a relationship with people, just a friendship, you know, just to get to know people. But people can tell in your face, mannerisms, the way you raise your eyes. I mean, little things, you know, you see someone who's kind of a shady kind of scam, you know, the guy's up to scamming you.
Yeah.
People can pick those things up. And so, but also if you're a good person and you care for people, that comes out too. And so, so I tell people, if you're a real money hungry jerk, very self-centered. I want myself to feel better above the self of others, you know, and I want people to praise me and, you know, that sort of person, you can't hide that. It just comes out. And so don't get on video, because your only followers will be like Floyd Mayweather and those guys. They're all about money and, you know, praise. And so, but if you're a good person, get on video. People will like you and they'll want to be around you and they'll care. They'll listen to you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so when it comes to social media and all that sort of thing, we just do a lot of videos, like a lot. And so instead of going after a viral video, now that one went crazy. I got on all kinds of interviews, you know, Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl and all.
Did you think it was going to happen before you did it, or was it just fun? Or did you say, I know this thing's going to be a hit?
No. I thought we'd get around 12,000 views. And, man, we've gotten, I don't know, on YouTube it says 600-something thousand, but really I know it's millions. I was getting emails from, like, famous people, like, dude, that was awesome.
No way.
It was really cool. And so, but God just directed us to do it. Now we have a filmmaker on staff. And
that's awesome.
He's a good filmmaker. He's gotten us into Sundance Film Festivals and stuff like that. And so you just keep on doing enough of those videos. The way that you get good at doing videos is by doing videos.
Like push-ups, kind of, huh?
Yeah, like singing. like playing guitar. That's how you get good, by playing guitar.
I saw that guitar in your office. You must be trying to get good.
Yeah, I haven't picked it up for a little while, but. So, yeah, so we did that video, and that was number 222, the videos.
Wow. So you know, it was number one I'd seen of yours.
That one worked. And then we did the other day I did a video, how to make an iPhone case, how we make our iPhone cases. It just hit, that was a year ago, it hit 11 million views the other day.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
And I didn't even know you made iPhone cases, man.
Yeah, how about that? That's my fault. I didn't advertise. I didn't, we don't always... Yeah. So anyway, we do those videos, and a little bit we add in stuff that we care about, like what fits in this bag, and I'll pull out a Love and Respect marriage book, and I'll say, well, this fits in there. Oh, and by the way, this is the greatest marriage book ever. And I'll put it just like I did just now on this podcast.
You just drop it in there, seeds.
I just threw it out to the listeners.
You're a big farmer, man. You're putting it out there.
Man, but you just constantly like put it out. And instead of telling people what we value, we show them. And so instead of talking about it, we go to Rwanda and we do stuff. Or instead of like going with Africa New Life Ministries, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just dropped another seed there for some listener who wants to sponsor a kid.
Boy, the links are going to be huge in this thing.
Dude, that, man, that's such a huge ministry. If you want, anyone wants to go with us, we go once or twice a year to Rwanda. It's very mm-hmm. safe and clean. Rick Warren is the pastor of the president. High elevation, wonderful weather. You can go on safari, and super meaningful ministry. So
I may have to do that. I've never been to Rwanda.
Man,
and if you're going, it must be cool.
Yeah, we've been a bunch.
Are they doing good work there?
Oh, man, it's incredible work. It's like Compassion International or World Vision.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 10,000 kids are sponsored, and they're part of the ECFA financial accountability thing. And man, is it like 92% of the money goes to that ministry. And so we're involved, Saddleback's involved there. We donate there, and then we go over, and we've probably taken about 300 people over there.
Some of our guys who have businesses here could look at that as a potential way to make an impact there.
Oh man, if we wanted to teach a business course, oh my gosh, that would be so incredibly helpful to teach just some basic business finance or business marketing or business structuring, leadership. Oh my gosh, that would change so many thousands of lives. We do that.
And that you guys, so the things you're interested in most of this is kind of a golden thread of young people and children, it seems, is a big part of y'all's focus to help. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, a strange thing. My wife pushes. She makes us all look good. She's super compassionate and real pretty, and she... those kids, loves those single moms, and she's always been like that. And so when we got married, and so we went over to Africa, and we thought, oh yeah, we get to trip around the world, we could do all this stuff, Seychelles and Spain and all these places. And we got there, and it was a showstopper. I'm like, whoa, you know, record screech. and then we went back like four times within that year, the next 12 months. But she was the one pushing, and she was the one pushing for us to sponsor more kids. And she was the one pushing for this and that. She opened the daycare down in Mexico. She pushed for the school. I mean, I'm more big picture. She's like, hey, that kid over there right there, he needs someone who loves him. That lady right there, she needs to be loved on right now. And I'm like, how can we reach the country of Mexico?
That's awesome.
I'm up in a satellite, and she's on a land in a Land Cruiser driving around.
That's my wife. I think every time we're praying about a dreaming about a number of giving, her number is minimum twice mine or more. I'm just like, how can it be? I stretch as far as I can, and her number's way more.
Yep. You know, us guys like us, we need to have wives. Seriously, who God uses our wives to, for at least for me anyway, he uses her for ministry to happen like crazy. So
I say I make half brain decisions without her input.
Yeah.
There's so much about the way she sees the world that helps bring balance to me and help me see things in a different way. And you know, it's a powerful relationship when a husband and wife, I think about husband and wife alignment, me and her say, when we get our hands on something and say, amen, there is power to that. When we make a decision, we're going to care about something or do something.
Mm-hmm. And her intuition, I can't tell you how many times where I've said, I'm the leader of this family. I'm your spiritual head. I don't say it like that in my mind. And then she says, well, Dave, that's a neat and everything, but have you considered this? I feel funny about it. Can we pray about it? I don't feel like it's right. And I'll go, well, yeah, but I think God's spoken to me. And oh my gosh, her intuition is, there's something about a woman's intuition that men just don't have in it.
I say it this way. Last time I didn't listen to Ash, one decision cost me millions of dollars. And what I told her is, I said, baby, I'm telling you, feelings aren't nothing and logic isn't everything. When you got a feeling, I want to know about it. Because she said it doesn't feel right. And I was like, what can you do with that? It doesn't feel right. Look at the numbers. Look at the, boy, if her feelings are going south, I'm going south.
Yeah. Yeah. We've dodged some bullets.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh. We dodged some bullets because of Suzette. So. But yeah, it's nice.
And y'all run the company together in all the different, I mean, like me and Ash, y'all work together, right?
Well, she doesn't like so much being in meetings because she wants to be doing stuff. And so she doesn't like the higher level things. When it comes to a significant decision, yeah, we'll pray about it and that sort of thing. But she lets me run. lets me run. She does Love 41, the mm-hmm. women's stuff. She uses zippers. I'm against zippers. But I'm against.
I didn't know you were zipper free.
I'm okay with them in jeans, but not on bags.
No, so there's no zippers on your bags?
Yeah, we don't have any breakable parts. So
you know, your attention to detail in bags is strong.
I do care about those things.
Take it seriously.
Yeah, you know, I figure if God had a business, a leather bag business, well, if he had a bag business, he'd make them out of leather. And then, you know, he made the first, you know, clothes out of leather, out of skins of some animal. And then, but if he had a business, it'd be leather bags, and they'd be the most durable, longest lasting bags in the whole world. And so I figure, and they'd be good looking and functional. And I figure, so let's just go after that. You know, one of those books, they were saying, I think it's Good to Great. They said mm-hmm. it doesn't take much more effort to be the best in the whole world. You just got to plan for it.
Interesting.
And so I tell entrepreneurs, man, why don't you just plan to be the best in the whole world? And so there's a new breakfast restaurant mm-hmm. over in our town. We have two restaurants, mm-hmm. two breakfast restaurants. Now we have a third one. And here in Texas, it's kind of out in a little town. And so we were really excited about this cafe. We go there, and the lady was really nice and had good music playing, and it was clean, new place. And I said, ma'am, I want to tell you, your biscuits and gravy are equally as good as Moe's and Azel Cafe. And it wasn't meant as a compliment. I said, your French toast is really good. And I said, really good. You got everyone else beat on that. And I said, and your biscuits and gravy are equally as good as theirs. And she goes, oh, thank you. And I go, have you considered like having the best biscuits and gravy? And she was looked at me like blank stare. I go, you know, YouTube has a lot of videos on how to like really great recipes for biscuits and gravy. And you could pick out the top four and then test them out with your friends and family. And the one they pick most, you could just have that one. And she goes, oh, thanks. Not interested. I'm just going to be average like everybody else.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man, but isn't that something when we can work and say, no, we're going to be the best in the world because we believe it honors God for us to do our very best to go that way. Any business we build, we don't try to be good for Alabama or good for the Southeast. We said we should be excellent.
Yeah. And when you're excellent and the best, then you have a right to speak.
Our son's got here in Opelika a wine bar with the largest selection of wine by the glass in America.
Wow.
430 wines by the glass. And everybody laughs. People coming from all over the world. Why are you here? He said, well, this is where I live. And why did you create this? Because I love wine. I wanted to be the best wine bar democratizing wine in America.
Wow. There you go.
So it is his passion. He's just there. I mean, he's so excited about going in every day.
I tell people, if you're going to do whatever you're doing, investing or lawns or gutter cleaning or painting or eyeglasses, just be 10% better than everyone around you. And then just keep on trying to improve. And people will take notice and they'll want to do that. They'll love that. And there's something appealing about just creating beautiful things that are, you know, they turn out beautiful when they're of the highest quality. So.
And love's a difference maker. I said, love is the most expensive four-letter word you've ever found. For you to love a city, I mean, when we love a place, love means get out your checkbook. Do your best. Go big on it. Be committed. So we say for loving our city, we're stewarding 10 square blocks, and we're responsible.
Well, that's great.
And like your bags, I can tell you love the bags. When you describe one, you don't describe, you're talking about like your, look at this. It's like, I've never thought this much about a bag.
You know, I hadn't either until I had to
till I had to.
Right.
There's a lot goes into it.
So, hey,
speaking of your cities and stuff like that, towns, I say, you know, for people who go on mission, those short-term mission trips, like constantly, they, uh-huh. I've been on 24 mission trips, you know. I go, man, sounds like you love missions. They go, oh, yeah, I love missions. I go, well, then why don't you marry it?
Ooh. Stop dating.
Stop dating.
Put a ring on it, buddy.
Put a ring on it. Sounds like you put a ring on your town.
I wanted to leave her. Me and my wife went to Mexico one time for 3 weeks. We said, we're done with this place. We're tolerated and not celebrated. We're not staying here. It's too tough. Prayed about it, and the good Lord told us, I mean, come back home and buy your burial plots. That's where I want you. And so we had to come home and fully commit to love this city for the rest of our life. There's something about this place and God's plan for our lives that's woven together. And I'm not even from here.
Wow. Where are you from anyway?
Albany, Georgia, about 2 hours south of here. And my wife's from here, but we both wanted to leave because we messed up here. We had all of our failures here. It'd be so nice to go somewhere nobody knew you, but we just got to live it out right here. Yeah, those are those crazy people that fell in love with God, reconciled their marriage, and seemed to keep on seeing beauty and broken stuff.
Yeah, that's where that video came in, the Seattle Pacific University video they did on you, right?
Yeah. And that's where kind of you and I first kind of got a chance. I heard more about your story. We're going to share it in the links. Is your video is called Not Dead Yet.
Yeah.
Which I think yours is more popular than mine because it's more fun. And people like seeing you, and you're a bit of a, you know, personality that people like. Mine was a little more poster child for idiots kind of thing.
And here I am making my coffin and your
loving
story.
Right. Yeah, I love that making your coffin. What a sense of humor to just play that out. So I read one of the things I read about you in some research. It said you would always say, that's it, those two words, by when.
Mm-hmm.
When people say they're going to do something, you just come back and say, okay, by when?
Yep. Your business will grow as fast as you make agreements. And so that's an agreement when I say, I just did it the other day. Okay, when's this? We have a... On our website, we had switched a couple websites over the last few years, upgrades and different things. And we were on a platform called NetSuite. It was just a total disaster. And we got into Acumatica. And so we moved the website over to Magento. And a lot of our videos didn't make it, but the upgrade before didn't make it. Anyway, so we have 16 videos on there. And so I was looking the other day, I was like, man, we're really missing some good videos. And turns out we have 184 videos. And I was like, I forgot how many we had. We had a lot. And so I said, hey, when can we get those up there? And he said, oh, we'll get it pretty soon. And I said, oh, great. Like, by when? he goes, well, let me get, I got to check on some stuff first. I said, okay, okay. So by when can you tell me when? By when can you get back to me to give me a time when that will be done?
Two words, by when.
By when, my favorite words.
That's you use them.
In business, my favorite words, by when. And then I act like I'm writing it down on a piece of paper.
Which you're not.
Which I'm not. And I tell you, because I forget I even asked the question.
Right.
And then they come to me on Friday and say, here it is, just like I said. And I go, oh, great. What are you talking about? On the videos page. So.
Oh, see, business advice. That's awesome. So I heard you speak in Kansas. We were there with Pete Oakes, one of our friends who does great work in Wichita. But you shared a little bit, and I told you were so vulnerable that the whole place was uncomfortable. I could see most of the leather was wore out from people's butts scooting on the seats as you had your topic compared to others. Tell us a minute about what you shared about why it was so powerful. And if you're okay with it, maybe we can point them toward the link.
Yeah, sure. So about a year and a half ago, one of my employees, he called me into my office. We were standing by my office. And he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? So he stepped into my office, shut the door, and he goes, hey, Dave, I just needed to tell you, man, you're a really prideful man. And I just had, no one wanted to say anything, but I feel like I have to say something. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, so like how, cause you know, I don't want to be. So like, in what way would you say that I'm prideful? He goes, oh, you know, just like in general.
Just like most every way.
And I was like, oh, okay. And it turns out there was a, he didn't even know what he was. It was something stupid. So I go back to my wife and I said, hey, hon, that night I said, hey, Gene said that I'm a really prideful man. And she goes, oh, whatever. That's ridiculous. He's just jealous. Or I was like, I think he's just jealous. She's like, yeah, you're a humble guy. You don't brag and you're not all cocky and bragging about whatever things. You're a humble man. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. You know, I take advice from people. You know, I hey, could someone critique my work? I listen to people. I ask, you know, I thought that I was genuinely, you know, humble. So later that week, I was reading a book, listening to a book, driving in, and it said, watch out, because the most prideful people are usually the ones at work who just do good work, put their head down, very helpful, smiley, and not really bragging much or anything. So watch out for those. Those are the most prideful people. And I thought, huh, okay, maybe there's more to this definition of pride than I understand. So I Googled signs of pride list. I had those four words, signs of pride list. And then I Googled spiritual pride. And I, man, everyone who's anyone's written about that subject. And every psychologist, Psychology Today, Wikipedia, Rick Warren, you know, I mean, Jonathan Edwards, everyone's written about pride. So are all these lists everywhere. They're usually in the form of a list. So I started compiling them. I got three or four lists together and I was like, oh man, I'm on this list. I didn't know this what this was. And they said it's whenever you are very self-oriented, like too much so, and where you want yourself, it's all about self. I want my self, my who I am as a person, I want it to be promoted, built up. I want it to be above other people. I want to be praised. I want myself to be honored and praised. I want to be, you know, even worshiped. Or it's that we think too much of ourself, more than what's true, or even too little of ourself. And so shyness is a sign of pride, because if I go out in front of public and stuff, and then, you know, and so the Bible clearly says God opposes. He resists. He is against. He is, you know, all these things. And I was like, oh my. And like, not like God doesn't, you know, he doesn't like it, but he is against it. So check this out. I found some verses together. It says this, in a little medley of verses. God opposes, resists, abhors, tears down, brings down, has scattered, is scornful to, reprimands, will punish, is angry at every arrogant person, those who have a proud look, those whose pride wells up, arrogant scoffers. The prideful man will be brought low, humiliated, disgraced, doomed, destroyed, humbled, will not go unpunished, was deposed from his royal throne, and his honor was removed. And those are a whole big old medley of verses.
Wow.
And so I said, oh man, and that's Christians, and talking about Christians in there. Paul, Apostle Paul, had the thorn in his flesh, so he would, and it's so he would not become arrogant. Another one, their beauty made them proud. Another one says, they were well fed, and they become proud. And good people become prideful, and Christians become prideful. So I was like, oh, no wonder I've been drawing prideful people to me. God's been opposed to me. He had his palm in my forehead.
And so I read this new list to Suzette, and she goes, "Oh, yeah, you are prideful." I was like, "Oh, thanks, hon. Oh, I'm kind of vulnerable here, you know." And I said, "Oh yeah, honey, there were some other things on the list." And so I read hers to her, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea this was what pride was." So like, and some of out of good intention, but like I really wanted people to recognize that I was spiritually minded. And so I would pray differently in front of people than when I was praying privately, because I wanted to make sure they knew that I was talking about my giving, you know, as, and I use it as an example. I want to encourage other people to give. And I was making excuses for the things, the possessions and the beauty, the beautiful things, the rewards that God gave me. I was making excuses for them because I wanted to make sure people knew that I wasn't materialistic and that I was still spiritual. And I was giving all of our money away because I didn't want people to think that I, you know, was eating mammon for breakfast. And so I, because I wanted to make sure that people knew I was spiritual. I wanted to walk away and people go, "Dude's a spiritual man, man. He's committed to God. I don't know if I could do that." You know, one guy told me, he said, when I shared that with him, he said, "He's a real servant, man. He serves everyone. He's always pulling in chairs for people. He's, no, y'all have the last one. I'm fine. You know, real good guy, humble, genuinely pretty humble guy." And he said, sometimes he'll walk away going, "I really hope they feel cared about." You know, usually that's like it is. Sometimes he'll walk away going, "I bet they think I'm quite a servant. I bet they think I'm humble.
I nailed that servant role right there.
Oh, I bet they're talking about me right now."
Whoa.
And that's the difference. It could be just a tweak in your heart.
I mean, I just think yesterday I said something, if somebody asked us about our, what we give or how we give, and somehow I went beyond what I should have in what I said. And I just, you still care what people think. You're still trying to get people to like you or think good of you. And I mean, it's good taken beyond the boundaries of God's will is sin. And if you think about it, I mean, it's so easy to go beyond what you should be doing, and you got to listen, at least for me. And one thing I realized, the key to being deceived is you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, I'm not deceived. Would you know?
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. And so when you wake up and you're just sharing that again, woke me up and said, "Oh yeah, you got ways. You could work on this."
So here's the cool thing. That God's not after a sinless life. He doesn't have his hand on the blessing valve.
Right. Turn it on. Oh, no.
Okay, back on. He repented. Oh, yeah. On. No. Oh, look. He repented. No. What he's after is the contrite heart. And I didn't know what contrite meant, so I looked it up. I kind of had a feeling, you know, in context, it would be like, you know, nice. But so I Googled it, and it said, repentant or remorseful. So when I do, now I'm aware of these things with from the list. I don't want to do it. Like, I'm not gonna do that anymore. Okay.
You catch yourself doing it, but you don't want to do it.
And then I go, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh, I was just, that was prideful. What it was. Yep. What I'm about to say is prideful. I don't think, let me say it. Oh, that felt good. Oh no, it
was. That one was.
It was. God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. That's, I don't want to do, oh, shoot. That's contrite. God said that King David, after he did all his mess, he said, Psalm 51, he said, what God, he didn't want your sacrifices. What he's after is a humble spirit and a contrite heart. And I was like, oh, that's good. So that list.
Uh-huh.
So I got like 40 lists or maybe more. I read a whole bunch of articles. I got obsessed with, I had all the desire and effort to dig into this for a long time. And I put it into one list, consolidated it. It's really long, of just signs of what pride looks like.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. It has helped my marriage so much.
It's been, killer.
It's been huge. So I did it. It's at saddlebackleather.com.
and then you put one of those forward slashes there, URL, and then pride.
Awesome.
Backletter.com/pride. And I just put it up there. I don't have links to it or anything. I just put it up there so I'd have a place to put it, because I already have a website and it's my ministry anyway. So I figured I just have various links up there. I just pile up. So
I know it's going to add value to people. I've already been looking through it and I was like, oh man, I think my skin's burning. Golly, I just feel like I got, well, you're not out of, you got a long way to go. There's a lot we can work with here.
Oh, and no one ever, and here's the thing, no one ever kicks it.
Right.
Nobody ever kicks it, ever. Yeah. Someone tells you, that's the worst kind. And so, right. You know, speaking of business advice, so when I ask, I interviewed some people for this role, and I said, there's a super Christian guy. And it volunteers for everything, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, you know.
Super Christian.
And I said, so tell me about a mistake you've made. And he was quiet for 30 seconds. And then he says, I didn't think you were going to ask me to pull my skirt up so soon. And I go, huh? I was like, what's that mean? I'm guessing he means that's uncomfortable to say.
Right.
It's uncomfortable to say. And so he told me about something he'd done like 30 years earlier. And I said, anything in the last like 10 years? And any mistake you've made? It doesn't have to be big, just any mistake. And he was quiet for a minute. And I was just imagining him on mute, like just punching holes in the wall. he told me something that wasn't even his fault. They made me do it and I did it. And I should have really fought back against him or something. And I said, man, this interview is over. In my mind, I was polite to him, but I was like, at that moment, I was like, this interview is over. Interviewed another guy. He started telling me about all these mistakes he made. And I was like, okay. That's all. That's good. You know, and he goes, and I'm not some super Christian, just so you know. Like, I mean, I love God and I'm raised in a Christian church, but I'm not, don't ask me to lead Bible studies and stuff, but I take my wife to church and I try, you know, I try to live a life that's pleasing to God, but man, I'm no super Christian. And I was like, oh man.
I like you, dude.
Where can you start, man? There's a humble spirit about the guy. And the other guy had a proud spirit about him.
What a great advice. I mean, I know you've learned a lot through all the things. I mean, you put yourself out there online and otherwise, and we honor the work you do. So we'll ask a couple of quick questions to land the plane. We ask everybody, and I know you've got tons. You've traveled to cool places, and if people want to see some fun things you do with the video and your kids and your wife, I really love that. So tell us about a place you've been. What have you done that we should do? And I know you've mentioned Rwanda.
Okay.
So you can get one more. We'll put the Rwanda link in there, and then we'll get one more.
Yeah, Africa New Life Ministries, man, it is amazing. It's a life changer. And it's a mission trip that, like, it's a family mission trip. You could take one-year-old, three-year-old, you know, with you.
Awesome.
You could do retirement trips. It's very comfortable. And it's door-to-door. They pick you up at the airport door, and they drop you off at the airport door. Everything else planned, it's life-changing. But as far as cool, like that was really cool, but like cool as far as like just vacation cool,
just like, yeah, what you would say cool, because you're an adventurer, you live in a dang tent, which we didn't have time to talk about. I mean, Google crazy saddleback guy tent guy.
Oh, so if you Google if you go on YouTube and you look up American Safari on YouTube, you'll see a whole video of us showing the tent.
It is so cool.
It got on national TV. It was pretty cool.
When you shower outside, which is absolutely, to me, it's like trip the breaker.
Yeah, it's that's a good one. I like that. we went to Gabon in Western Africa. It's on the coast. It's considered Central Africa, but it's on the coast. Oh, my gosh. We went this summer. Amazing. Super safe and clean. It just opened for tourism.
No way.
Just open for tourism. Do you know what? You know who funds all the national parks?
Who?
The U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And it turns out, I believe the U.K. and the Americans have pushed the French out. The French were like the country of France. They're all getting kicked out of the entire continent because for so long they've said, okay, 99 for us, one for you. 99 for us, one for you. All the
oil, kind
all
of the fair.
All the diamonds, everything. 99 for us, one for you. And so no schools, no hospitals, no roads. Just all of it for them. And so that's what they said. So, yeah, it was interesting.
What? Tell us a little bit about it just so we have a little context. What is...
It's you know, right before that overhang on the left-hand side of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's just below that. And so it's on the equator, so there's not really like a current, too strong of a current. So the whales all hang out there. The humpback whales in the summer, and in the later summer, they're just like jumping all over the place. And there's like an unbelievable amount of fish. I mean, we're just like fishing our arms off. They have 150,000 gorillas, not gorillas.
Gorillas.
150,000 of them. They have elephants all over the place. They have the largest migration of sea turtles, of leatherback turtles in the world. And in October, November, December, they're all laying eggs. And they're like, you know, like 6 feet long, you know, 3 feet tall on the beach.
No way.
But that's what they're really known for. And up until 2 years ago, the French weren't allowing anyone to come into the country unless you had an invitation for business. But they were keeping everyone out of the country. So if you're thinking, well, I don't speak French. Dude, Google Translate. You put it in there and then you hold it up to their face and they read it. And they go, oh, yeah, I'll bring the butter right to you. But it was so cool. It was amazing.
Did you take your kids? Was it the whole family?
Oh, yeah, the whole family. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super neat.
That's very cool. Thank you for giving us a little lens into a new place in the world. What about, what have you read that we should read? Something that you would say, hey, you can put this on your list.
This book called Excellence Wins. Everybody needs to read that if you have a business.
And Excellence Wins.
It came out in 2019 by the guy who founded, one of the co-founders of Ritz-Carlton. His name's Horst Schulze. He's a German guy. And man, I was in love with the book. It was like, he's like, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And it was so amazing about taking care of your customers, but also your employees and how even the dishwashers, he got them like they're proud to wash dishes and excellence in all things. And then at the end, he says, oh yeah, the little addendum at the end of the book, he goes, hey, you know, meeting the president, a couple different presidents, and getting all these awards and accolades was all nice and everything, till I got cancer, that 1% kind of cancer. And I'm thinking, who's going to raise my kids? They need a father to give them advice and wisdom. It wasn't supposed to live. And, you know, of course, 25 years later, and he said, so give your life to Christ. He goes, I was going to church. These men came around me and prayed for me, and I fully submitted to God. I had not submitted to him before. And I fully submitted my life to him. And I tell you, I have such joy in my life and peace, and it just changed my whole world. And he's like, I really encourage you to do that. Seriously, no whole
drop the mic. He did it.
It was chilling. It was really good. So that's Excellence awesome. Wins. And, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Uh-huh.
Man, I don't know if I've read maybe a better book, regular secular book. That is spectacular. I couldn't believe I hadn't read that sooner.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I listened to that like four or five times driving in and out.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would say those two books. There you go.
And the last one, who do you know that we should know? Who's on Dave's radar screen doing good work in the world or interesting, making cool stuff or just anything that you're kind of saying, man, this is getting my attention. You guys need to know about this person.
Hmm.
You should have told me that ahead of time. Then I
well, then, that's all right. We know that you buy cool stuff. You like cool stuff. I know you told us about your friend, the tent maker. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Furniture, technology, clothing, shoes, rugs.
Yeah.
Beard trimmer.
Okay. Can you handlebar makes excellent beard oil.
Can you handlebar?
Can you handlebar? A guy named Doug Geiger. He's the funniest man that I know.
That's big, you saying that.
He's the funniest man I know. Like, I was talking to him once, and he just goes, this is all the time. We're talking, and he's like, I'm in this store. I'll call you back. So he calls back, and he goes, you know, they had this bulletproof glass right there, you know, at the cash register. And I told the lady, you know, it makes me feel safer that we have this glass so because I know you're not going to shoot me. The cashier, he told the cashier that.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, Doug, you losing weight? He came over to Africa with us. He goes, no. In fact, I've gained some weight, but it makes me think in my mind that you think I'm a big, fat slob. And now you see me, and I'm not as big and fat as I am, so it makes me think that you think that I'm a fat, big, fat kind of guy. And I was like, no, Doug, I just say it. And he's like, yeah, you were thinking it, weren't you? He's that kind of guy. So
what a fun guy.
Good-hearted guy. He's generous. He encourages people to go with Africa New Life, too. He goes, you know, if you have all the beard oil you need, why don't you go and sponsor a kid with AfricaNewLife.org.
Oh.
And he's a good guy. And, Doug Geiger. So
outstanding. Well, we think you're a good guy, Dave. I tell you, my life's better for knowing you. I think all of our listeners ought to check you out and check out your products. Check out these bags that are changing the world. And do like me. Don't just stick it in the cart and pull it out and in and out. You got to make the decision. You've got to pull the trigger.
You know, if you love it, why don't you just marry it?
Put a ring on it, buddy. Put buy now. Thanks, Dave. God bless y'all and all you do. And we'll put links in the bottom of this podcast to Saddleback Leather and all the things he's doing. Make sure to reach out to these guys. They're doing good work. And if you have this podcast has touched you and you like it, share it with people you know. We appreciate it.
Thanks.